Hey everybody, welcome back to day two of Holy Week as we prepare our hearts and minds to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday. And today I want to take you to one of my favorite scenes in all of Christ's life. It's that scene where he's in a garden, alone with his Heavenly Father, in prayer. Luke records it this way. He says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Very interesting prayer. I wonder what their temptation is going to be. But it says he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, and he knelt down and prayed. And this is his prayer, very famous prayer. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And despite being strengthened by an angel, it says, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Here's what's interesting. Jesus, throughout his entire life and ministry, was perfectly in control. Perfectly poised under every circumstance he ever faced. Some of them intense and pressure. And yet here in this scene, we see him crumbling, falling apart. You know, many Christians throughout the centuries, even his own disciples, would face death with much more dignity than what we see Jesus right now. In fact, no culture back then would read this scene and consider Jesus honorable or consider Jesus someone worth following or someone worth giving your loyalty to. There must be something more going on. The Roman cross and crucifixion was designed by the Romans to cause the greatest amount of pain and the greatest amount of shame possible before a person died. Yet there's something much more going on with Jesus right now. Something that would cause him to just fall apart almost. And here's what I think it is. I think he is just now getting a taste of what's about to really happen. He's known all along. He's been telling the disciples that he's going to go and get crucified by the Romans. But I think for the first time, he's really getting a glimpse of how much it's going to cost him. So much more than just physical pain and physical death. He uses an interesting term here. It's a euphemism. He says, take this cup from me. What's he talking about? Well, the cup is a euphemism for wrath. God is about to pour out his anger and his wrath on all injustice in all sin on Jesus. And I think for the first time, Jesus is really fully grasping that. Think about it. His entire life has been nothing but this perfect unity, perfect love, this perfect relationship between Father and Son. And yet now, for the very first time, in all of eternity, he's going to get nothing from the Father except wrath. And angry. And we don't like a God who gets angry. This God of wrath goes directly against the grain in our hearts, in our minds. But this is important. It's important that if we don't accept a God of wrath, then we really have no idea how valuable we are to him. Let me say that again. If we cannot accept and embrace a God of wrath, then we really don't understand and fully grasp how valuable we are to him. See, if all we want is a loving God, then we have a God with no need for a cross. No need for a cross. See, a God without wrath cannot be also at the same time a God of love. But when you have a God of wrath, You have a God who is willing to go through not just this intense physical torture, but he's also willing to take on in our place all of God's wrath and anger toward sin and toward you and toward me. You know, the theological term that is used is propitiation. It has to do with God's wrath, with his anger at sin and sinfulness. And when Jesus went to the cross, he was literally taking on the wrath of God in our place. So instead of you and I experiencing the wrath of God, he experienced it so that you and I could experience his love, and his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. So you and I have a choice. We can have a God who is intimate and personal, who is loving and wrathful. Or we can have some impersonal force like electricity and call it God. See, if you want to know and value your worth, the cross is the perfect example of both God's wrath and hatred of sin, and yet his love and devotion to you and I. And so Jesus says, take this cup from me. Yet not your will, not my will, but your will be done. Fully knowing exactly what it would cost him, there's no surprises here. God led him to the edge of the furnace and let him taste what he was about to go through, and he went through it for you and for me. See, this is the kind of love that you've been looking for your whole life. This is a love that outloves every other love you can have. The love of a spouse, the love of kids, the love of grandkids, the love of a job, the love of a car. This is a love that you've been looking for your entire life. Have you ever felt abandoned? Have you ever felt rejected? Look, you have a God. You have a Savior who, even in this circumstances, did not abandon his calling. And that's a God that you can put your hope in. That's a God you can put your trust in, because he will not abandon that moment. He will not abandon you, and he will not reject you. You ever feel like giving up? You ever feel like throwing in the towel? Well, you have a Savior who did not give up, who did not throw in the towel. And because he never gave up, you and I can hang in there. We can hang in there, whatever the circumstances are, because he hung in there for us.